What I'm looking for is a description to the reader of PhotoVision who, I mean, somehow has been in a Rip Van Winkle state and maybe just isn't familiar with your work.
Basically, for me, what happened as I became the only photographer in an art department, and I was around people who were painters, sculptors, whatever, and, you know, they were constantly working on their stuff and having a dialogue with it. That's when the whole sort of post-visualization thing occurred, and that, you know, the darkroom could indeed be a visual research lab. And so, for me, I spend great amounts of time in the darkroom building images from separate negatives into something that I find, you know, cohesive in some way. I still enjoy photographing, and the camera I've always felt is a kind of a license to explore. It kind of gives you, you know, permission to go out and interact with the world in, you know, various ways. But for the vast majority of photographers, the primary creative gesture occurs when they click that shutter. That's the you know, moment of truth. And then when they go in the darkroom, they try to somehow bring that reality to life. Whereas for me, that's not the total. I mean, I still try to, obviously, you can't stop not thinking and try to compose stuff at the camera. But what literally happened to me, and I'm getting probably sidetracked.
That's okay.
Is when I was a graduate student at Indiana, and I remember going out trying to photograph, and I'd find something that I would think would be interesting. If I thought too much about it, I could talk myself out of anything.
Okay.
You know, I mean, God herself could appear. And I was like, well, I don't know what this means. You know, it's like, and like that was where some of this really began, because if you get the least bit, you know, analytical at that point, it is easy to, you know, reject a lot of things that initially attracted me to photograph. But now I don't worry about that, and I realize that, you know, a lot of what the camera end of the process does is give you a basis of interacting, you know, with the real world. And you know, if I didn't have the images that I have, I still would have to be very happy with all the experiences that, you know, the camera has given me in terms of places you've gone, people you've met, things that you've been able to stop and look at.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a camera around your neck, you know, sort of thing. But, you know, I don't know how specific you get, but basically my main technique involves multiple printing. And, of course, I always like people to know that I didn't invent these techniques. I read a book on early cinema once where the guy said, nothing is new except what has been forgotten.
that's good, yeah.
I thought, you know, there's an element of that, you know, obviously there's Robinson and Rylander, and of course they have been around from day one, but it was not so much, you know, respected in, certainly in the 50s and 60s when, you know, we were trying to define photography. I think people were trying to define it in general as a very specific medium. I mean, to me, that's a very interesting issue, that at a time when art departments, a lot of them were being formed, you know, printmaking looked a certain way, painting looked a certain way, sculpture, they all involved certain materials, and there was not the crossover and interplay that, you know, we have today, which I think is much, you know, much healthier. But in those days, you know, the purist approach was what was being accepted. And the first, you know, photographers that were dealt with on the arts, in the art section of the New York Times, because there used to be that camera page.
Right, I can, yeah.
Which, you know, would say there's a show of roses down at the, whatever, the YMCA. But when they first dealt with photography, it was always people like Strand or Bresson or Weston that, you know, because that didn't conflict with what was going on in the other media, more or less. To me, you know, that made it over into the art thing. But in any case, I was not in any way, let's see, how can I say that? I'm talking in circles here. But I didn't have to interact with other photographers who constantly challenged what I was doing. So when I would show experimental things to my friends on the faculty here, the printmaker, the painter, they'd all like, hey, that's interesting. Well, you lot of support. And it wasn't until I would go to, like, New York or something, and I'd show some friends what I was doing, that they'd usually say, well, it's interesting, but it's not photography.
Mm-hmm.
And then my whole thing was, well, no, wait, I'm buying everything at the camera store. I'm spending long hours in the dark room. I mean, what are we supposed to call this kind of stuff? And there was that period, which I think is definitely over now, that where, you know, it was questionable. I mean, some people thought it was exciting that the limits were being challenged, and others, found it offensive that somehow it wasn't what was supposed to happen. Because once you begin to alter the imagery, you know, you're moving in these, exploring kind of the boundaries between fact and fiction, you know, where you, there's always been the veracity element
mm-hmm.
that a photograph had, and then you're inventing these, you know, other kinds of realities. Now, for me, the straight photograph has always had those same qualities, you know, that it doesn't literally, replicate that scene. I mean, in theory it does, but in reality, Ansel's pictures of Yosemite aren't what you would experience if you went there, you know, that there is that transition that does occur.
Yeah, ever so slightly.
yeah, well, yeah.